Good morning, His Tabernacle family. Are you excited to be in the house of God this morning? I am so excited to be in the house of God today. God is moving, shifting, changing, radically making a difference in our lives. Hallelujah. How many were here last night? Woo-hoo! We can definitely feel the residual anointing this morning, and it's given us a good foundation to build on for today. We are of great expectancy. We have our special guest, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. is here again with us this morning. We're so excited. And God moved so powerfully last night that we decided we're going to meet again tonight at 6 o'clock right here for another special service with Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. So if you had plans, cancel them and get to the house of God. We are here for a touch. We want to see God move, and He is in mighty ways. And so we need to prioritize the house of God in all things. So come out tonight and just get a touch and praise and celebrate our Lord with us. Just a couple of announcements. If you are new, or if you newer, or if this is your first time today, or if you've been coming for a while but you've never really got to know the people here or gotten connected in any way, we want to get to know you more. And in order to do that, we have a connect room. After service, after the 9/11 services every Sunday, we have a room set up over here in the this hallway on that side with some refreshments, and some of the staff and church family are in there. We want to welcome you and get to know you better, and let you get to know what's going on here and how you can get plugged in at His Tabernacle. So make sure, if you haven't already, that you're in the connect room. And while you're there, you'll learn about Discover Class. Discover Class is a four-week class that we have on Sunday mornings. It's just simply that. It's going to help you discover more about this church, more about God, and more about yourself. And it's going to help you on your path in your relationship with Jesus. So join the Discover Class. Again, you don't have to be new to join that. If you've never gone through, if you've been here 10 years, it doesn't matter. You can go through Discover Class. We have other classes that happen through the week, Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday nights, and we have what's called our Next Steps program for your education in the Word. And we have a new class starting up on June 15th, and this one is a leadership class. Now, this one is designed for those of you who have been through Rock Solid Faith, and it's not only for people that feel like they're called to leadership in the church. I mean, this class is leadership principles. It'll help you be a better leader in your family, a better leader at your workplace. And so you want to come out and learn, grow in your leadership principles. The final announcement that I have is that next week, you want to make sure also to prioritize being in the house of God, because our bishop is going to be with us next week. Bishop Thomas from Margate, Florida, Abundant Life. He is going to be with us here to minister, here to leave a great spiritual deposit, and we want to be under that anointing. So make sure that you're here next week as well. So if you'll join us, we're going to go right into worship. Have a wonderful Sunday. Pastor Rhonda is here, and she's going to open the service in prayer. Yay! I'm just so happy to be back in the house. Pastor Spencer is preaching. You might have saw him in the driveway if you got here early enough, but he's preaching at our Mansfield campus. We are just so happy to be back in the house. So let's just open in prayer. Father, we love you so much. You are awesome, God. It is our joy and our honor to come into your presence, to come into the throne room boldly before you, knowing, God, that you change everything. Being in your presence changes everything. So right now, as we run into your presence, God, we know we have a conviction, we have a confidence, we have a trust, knowing that you change everything. So get in hearts, get in minds, get in whatever situation is going on, and transform it by your mighty supernatural power today, Lord. We just love you so much, Jesus. In your precious name, amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me. Yeah, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me. Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Just call him up and tell him what you want.
All right, we're going to clap a little bit. There we go.
I get joy when I think about
what he's
done
for me.
Come on, you sing that part.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me, what the Lord has done for me.
Yeah, I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me, what the Lord has done for me.
Sing Jesus, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want. Just call him up and tell him what you want.
Yeah, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want. Just call him up and tell him what you want.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me,
what the Lord has done for me. Yeah.
His body was broken for our transgressions. But I'm so glad that's not where the story ends. The lamb that was slain that day rose in victory. And since that day, sin has lost its grip on me. He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for my Savior God up in victory.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free. He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance.
I'm dancing out of my grave clothes.
Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for my Savior God up in victory. I'm dancing out of my grave clothes.
Jesus, and how we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name. How we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one.
How we love. no other God can be called Redeemer. No other God's coming back again. How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
We love your name, Jesus.
And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one.
I will bless the Lord.
robbed you, God. and in the tithes and offerings because they didn't give. And you want to know why that hurts God's heart? It's not because, oh man, they didn't give. No, because he wants you blessed. He wants your money in the supernatural. He knows the limitations of the natural. He knows the stock market. He knows all those things. He knows the piece of paper that your money's printed on. He wants his children. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. But until you personally combine it with your faith, it will profit nothing. I can give. I'm going to give because I know the benefits. And not even just the benefits. Man, God's been so good. God's been so good. I love giving. It's one of my favorite things. I want to be the first to give every time. I jump to give. I run to give. My spirit leaps when we even talk about giving. I love to be a cheerful giver because the Word of God tells us to be cheerful givers. So if you're ready to give this morning, you're ready to move your money out of the natural, put it in the hands of a supernatural God that will bless you to overflow, that will literally cause the blessings to trip you up. You know, you might not understand that little portion that we do. The blessings will trip you up. That's when they're coming in so fast. They're coming in. I've had so many times where I've had my seed in my purse still with the intention to give, and the blessing comes at me before I've even given it and put it in the plate. That's what I mean when I say the blessings are going to trip me up. They're going to come in so fast and so as long as we obey. That's why we start with if I obey. So let's get ready this morning. You're standing to your feet. Repeat after me our supernatural declaration. This is the Word of God. This isn't my words. This is supernatural. You're prophesying right now over your finances. You're prophesying over your week. You're prophesying over your job. You're prophesying over your bank account. You're prophesying over your savings account. Man, your words produce. Your words, when we put His words in this mouth that produces life or death, it cannot return void. It has to. I want you to get that in your spirit today. It has no other choice but to perform on your behalf. Whatever it is you're believing for financially, as you say this, I want you to get a conviction in your spirit that your money has to. It has no other choice but to perform when it is sent out. Blessings will come in. They will trip you up. Jobs, increase, promotion, witty ideas, inventions, entrepreneur, whatever it is, God will bring it when we put His words in our mouth. So right now, sorry, I'll preach all day long. I haven't had a microphone in a little bit. Sorry, Brother Ted. If I obey, oh, wow. I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching online, go ahead and click on the giving button or follow the directions on the screen. You can even text to give, however you choose, but make sure you go on and you give right along with us today.
He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah.
right over so we can get right into the word.
Praise God. Oh, clap those hands this morning. You look so good. Are you happy to be in church? I'm glad you're here. You know, it's been wonderful. Last night we had about 20 people drive in from Syracuse and people from State College. And you know, it's amazing. We've got people, our Massachusetts Crossroad family in the house, Crossroads Community Church. And we have some more coming, but I don't think they're here yet. They will be here. They left at about what time? 3, 4? They left at 4 a.m. this morning from Massachusetts to be here in one service. I don't even think they knew there was a night service tonight. By the way, there is, if you didn't know. Pastor Spencer said last night, he said, how many would come back to church if we came back Sunday night? And so it's tonight at 6 o'clock. Is that right? 6 o'clock p.m. We're going to be right back here in the house, and it's going to be powerful. I'm looking forward to it. But can you imagine the hunger people have? Of course, we have our friends from Pastor Brian Tome's church, Crossroads Community Church, to drive from Massachusetts all the way here for church. And then now, people that are willing to take their family, wake up early, leave 4 a.m., get into the house of God. And in her mind, it was only for one service. But she's going to be blessed with two if she stays. Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you, people are hungry all over this nation for the word of God, for the power of God. This is not, and of course, I know Bible prophecy tells us that in the final moments of time, their hearts of many will grow cold and many will fall away from the faith. But somebody declare this with me. That's not me. Say it again. That's not me. No, we're the hungry remnant. We're the ones that are on fire. We're the ones that are not going to miss out on what God's doing in the earth, because we're staying in that place of his presence where his spirit dwells and moves. Amen. And so I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready today to see what God's going to do. And I want you to do me a favor. Turn to Acts chapter 20. And I really, really appreciate this awesome worship team. Every time I come, they're better than the last time. Would you put your hands together and give God thanks for great anointed praise and worship at his tabernacle? I mean, you're blessed. You're blessed. You really are. I've been to churches where the praise and worship, man, it took the service lower, not higher. You don't want to be in that place. I've been there. And then you have to get up and you wonder, are people still alive? Do we need the paramedics? You want to get those paddles they have when somebody, you know, what are those called? The defibrillator paddle? I don't know. All right. Acts chapter 20. And welcome to everybody watching online. We're glad you're watching. Share the broadcast. Stay with us. Comment. People watch these even on the replay. And what I always tell people to do is, as we're going through the word, you know, put those references in the comments, because there's people that watch the replay. They stick right in with the word. They're hungry. And I appreciate the technology we have to reach the world. Did you know what God did? Open the door. So now that we're preaching the gospel every week in 180 plus nations of the world. Isn't that amazing? God opened that up last year. And now we stepped in and we're running. And people are being saved all over the place. Thank God for technology. It's an amazing thing. Acts 20. I'll get right in because I know we have limited time today. But Acts 20, and I'll read our passage here, and then we're going to pray, and I'll give this to you. I'll read to you the 32nd verse. Acts 20, 32. Powerful thought. I love this. Bible says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that every heart would be open today to receive it. Don't let one of us leave unchanged. I really pray that today would be a turning point in our lives, that from this day we'll receive a revelation from your word that will take us to new levels. We thank you for that. We thank you that your word brings freedom. We thank you that it brings power. And as this verse said, it gives us our inheritance. Lord, we expect to walk in our inheritance in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, somebody shout, amen. Praise God. Acts 20, 32, very interesting passage, because the Bible's telling us Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he says to the Ephesian elders, "Now I commend you to God." Really, that phrase, what it means is, I'm now entrusting you to God. and to the word of his grace. So to God and his word. But I like this because it says his word is able to build you up, number one. That's an exciting thought, is that you don't have to stay where you are currently. His word builds you up. You know what's interesting? I was reading about Ezekiel, the prophet's call, when God called him. And he said this in Ezekiel chapter 2. He said, the word came unto me and set me upon my feet. You know what he said? He said, the word came unto me and entered into me and set me upon my feet. One thing I realized, when the word comes to you and you get revelation, it establishes you in your calling. It establishes you in your purpose. And Ezekiel said, the word came unto me and entered into me. Oh, hallelujah. You know, that's one thing you got to make sure of every single day, that the word's not just passing by you, it's entering into you. There's people that hear the word. You know, that's why I really enjoy the parable of the sower, because the word was the seed and it fell on four types of ground. I want to make up my mind that I'm the good ground. That I'm the ground that when the seed of the word falls on me, it doesn't just get carried away. You know, one of the types of ground, the footpath, Jesus said, well, these are people who they hear the word, but immediately, you know, the birds came and ate the seed off the footpath. He said, immediately the enemy is able to take the revelation of my word away because they don't understand it. And he said, you've got to understand the word of God. Others, the cares of this world choked out the word of God. I don't want to be any of the other three types. I want to be good ground. How about you? When you're the good ground, the Bible says, it enters into you and then produces fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, producing fruit from the word of God. And so when the word enters into you, it is actually a productive element. It's a production element. That's why I like with faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Because how does faith come? By hearing the word. And so we know this. When faith enters into you, it's entering in because the word entered in. And then it turns you into a production factory for the kingdom of God. That I'm not stagnant. I'm not producing nothing. I'm not just sitting around always receiving, always receiving. I'm a producer of fruit in the kingdom of God. We're production factories. Hallelujah. That the devil can't shut down. And so that parable of the sower shows us that when the word comes into us, it turns us into fruit producers. And God becomes pleased. In fact, John chapter 15 tells us that if we're truly connected to the vine, which is Christ, here's a mind-blowing thought. Christ is the word made flesh, who dwelt among us. So if we're connected to him, we're connected to the word. That's what we're saying here. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So when you're connected to the word, guess what's happening? He said, you'll produce much fruit. Oh, glory to God. John 15, you'll produce much fruit, which will bring great glory to my Father. So when we've got fruitful Christians, when we got Christians that are producing at a high level, God gets all the glory for that. So, in fact, that'd be the opposite is true. You know, that's why I love this church so much. This is a producing church. I said, this is a producing church. You got people producing disciples and disciples producing disciples, and you've got conferences and events that are producing disciples, and you've got you got rock solid faith, and you got the Bible school, and it's producing. And that brings great glory to the Father. See, when you've got the word entering into you, it turns you into a production machine. And see, the opposite then has to be true. When there's a lack of production, it irritates God. And you see that from that story Jesus told. He said, my Father is the husbandman. Or one translation calls him the vine dresser. And he's examining the vine and the branches all the time. He said, when I see branches that are not producing fruit, he said, the vine dresser, the husbandman comes and he prunes them or cuts them off and throws them into a pile to be burned. See, it's the difference between production and lack of production. I think about this. It's the word that makes you productive. It's very interesting because if you read the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, the master returned. One servant had five talents. One had two. One had one. The one with five doubled it, gave back 10. The one with two doubled it, gave back 4. But the one with one buried it in the ground. And see, when the master came back, he commended the two that produced, and then he rebuked the one who did not. He just maintained. See, one of the worst things we can ever get into in the kingdom is maintenance mode. God doesn't want maintenance mode, just trying to put it on cruise control and coast through the kingdom. God's not interested in maintenance mode. God's interested in increase. He's a God of increase. He's a God of provision and production. In fact, when Jesus used to reveal himself in the Gospels to his people, don't you find it interesting that he would always literally show his nature to his people through the method of increase? That's how they knew him to be who he was. First of all, you look at John 6. Whole crowd comes out in the wilderness to hear him teach. And when he sees a multitude coming, he says to Philip, hey, where are we going to get bread to feed them all? You know what his first thought was for his people? I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to show them my provision nature. And then when 5 loaves and 2 fish come into his hands, what does he start doing? Multiplying. Because he's a God of multiplication. And he started feeding them all and feeding them all and feeding them all. He's showing them who he is by nature. I am a provider. I'm a multiplier. I'm a God of increase. And it's interesting because he didn't just give them all a little piece. It wasn't like that communion service that went 4 hours and everybody's looking at that like, give me 4 of the crackers and get me 2 of the juices. It's not an appetizer at Applebee's, you know. And people are like, oh, I'm getting hungry, Pastor, better let this service out. No, he didn't feed them all just a little piece of fish and a little piece of bread. Bible says he fed them all until they were full and wanted no more. That's a powerful thought. Because he took just 5 loaves and 2 fish and filled a crowd of 5,000 men, plus who knows how many women and children, because the Bible doesn't say, until they all ate and were full and wanted no more. That's his nature. He fills you to full and overflow until even your want, oh, hallelujah, is out of the way. And then, guess what happened? He said, now, take 12 baskets. I mean, imagine the time it took. These couldn't be like little offering baskets. There were thousands of people. These men had to be going with baskets to gather up the leftovers and the fragments. And they filled 12 baskets of bread and fish that was left over. We've got to conclude one of two things. Either God doesn't know how to count. How many know? How many believe God knew exactly how many people were there that day? How many knew? He knows exactly how hungry each one was. So as Jesus is doing a divine miracle, if God's interest was bringing his children to just enough, if his interest was meeting your needs, then he would have stopped the multiplication when everybody had eaten and was full. That's when he would have stopped multiplying. But he fed them till they were full, until they overflowed, and then he kept multiplying and kept multiplying and kept multiplying until he's producing leftovers and the disciples had to pull out the Tupperware. And they're going through the crowd and they're taking the leftovers, 12 baskets full of overflow and increase, because he's showing you his nature. What Peter said, Lord, should we pay the temple tax? He said, sure. He said, let me tell you something. Go down to the water, cast in a line, and the first fish you catch, bring it. There'll be a gold coin in its mouth. Now watch this. It's not just meeting Peter's needs. It's overflow. He said, when you get the gold coin, go pay your taxes and mine. There was enough to meet Peter's needs and then more than enough. There was something for God. And there was something for Peter. There was something for God, and there was something for Peter. In fact, this is how his disciples came to know him. They came to understand he is a Lord of increase. I'll show you how powerful this is, because they knew it so much that, look at this, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And they didn't even know he was up. I'm going fishing. They said at the end of the Gospel of John, we're going fishing. And they come over and they fished all night and caught nothing. And as they're coming back into the shore early, they see a man on the shore. He says, brothers, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught anything. Well, cast your net to the other side of the ship. Now, they had an opportunity to become offended because they were professionals. Who's this guy telling us how to fish? We've been fishing our whole lives. You think the fish all just gathered on that side of the ship and stuck close to the bow and said, just don't move, they'll never catch us. But they didn't do that. They obeyed. Not even knowing who was on the shore, they cast it. I'm saying this to get this. I want you to see the nature of Jesus. And the moment they obeyed his instruction, the Bible says there was such a catch of fish into that net that the net began to tear. And they took it back towards the shore, 153 large fish. And this is interesting. The moment the catch jumped in the net, they'd seen this kind of nature for three straight years, and they flipped around to each other and said, it's the Lord. They didn't know who was on the shore until increase showed up. And when increase showed up, it was a proof of the nature of the one who was on the shore. And Peter flipped around and said, that's the Lord. Flipped his shirt back on and jumped into the water and swam to the shore. And when they got there, I love this, because he said, hey, brothers, bring some of the fish you've caught. We'll cook it up so you can have something to eat. But notice, Jesus didn't need their fish because he already had a campfire going, and the Bible says his fish were already cooking on the fire, because he's the same God that provided the fish in the net, is the same God that spoke the fish into the frying pan, because he's a Jesus of the overflow. He's a Jesus of the increase. He's the Word made flesh. And when the Word's made flesh, it brings increase. You connect to the Word, you connect to increase. The path of the just is a shining light, Proverbs 4:18, that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. I want you to say it with me. My path is not diminishing. It's getting brighter. Hallelujah. Devil thought he could darken our path. Devil thought he could shut us down. Devil thought he could shut us up. But you can't do that to the people of God. Because our path gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. We can't be destroyed. We can't be defeated. We're uncursable. You can't stop what God's doing in the earth. If they could have done it, they'd have done it by now. But we're multiplying all over the face of the earth, and people can't stop what God wants to do. When he raises his mighty right hand, who can stop him? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that. That's a scripture. When he raises his mighty right hand, who can stop him? Not when he stands up, just when he raises his right hand. All he has to do is raise his hand. And there's so much power in the raising of one hand that he doesn't even have to stand up. All he has to do is raise his hand. And the Bible said, who can stop him when his mighty right arm is raised? Hallelujah. He'll stretch that right arm out and sweep your enemies out of the way. He'll stretch that right hand out and sickness has to disappear. He'll stretch that right hand out and everything that was poverty and lack has to run out the back door and provision comes to you. He'll stretch that right hand out and every attack of the enemy has to break by the power of the Holy Ghost. Said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word. It's the word which is able to build you up. So we know that we can be built up. But then look at this. And to give you your inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That means sanctified people have an inheritance. Glory to God. Think about this now. You don't need God to bless you. He already did. I like Ephesians 1:3. The Bible says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So that means there are no more blessings to be blessed with. If you've got every spiritual blessing, there aren't any more. Think about that. There aren't any more. We don't ever have to say, oh, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. He already did it. He said, well, there were people in the Bible that prayed that. Yeah, in the Old Testament. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Prayer Jabez. People took two lines in the Bible and wrote a whole book on it. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. I mean, you don't have to pray that anymore. You know why? He already blessed you. All you got to do now is appropriate the blessings that he's given you. He's not going to heal you. He already healed you. He's not going. See, these things happened at the cross. When the blood was shed and Jesus said, it is finished. I love that phrase, it is finished. In the Greek, the word tetelestai, that word means two things. Paid in full, the victory is won. Hallelujah. In history, they used to come to your house if you owed a debt. And once the last payment on that debt was paid, they would take that, whatever that writing instrument they would use, and they would put it on your bill, tetelestai, paid in full. To be fully completed, to be fully paid. And Jesus was saying on the cross of Calvary, there's no more debts that these people have to pay because I just paid them all. There's nothing left for them to cover. I've not only paid it, but I've blessed them with every spiritual blessing. And so Jesus Christ, not only did he win the victory, but he paid your debts and made a way that we could all become children of God with inheritance in the kingdom of God. And now that it says every spiritual blessing, you know what that means? It's now that we have them, the key is I ain't leaving them in my heavenly account. Because you could be a multimillionaire and starve to death if you didn't have a way to get your money out of the bank. If you didn't have a check or a debit card with a PIN number or any way to withdraw funds, you literally couldn't even buy a pack of ramen noodles at the grocery store, even though you're a multimillionaire. And there are children of God in the earth that are literally struggling through life. Not because they're not blessed, not because they don't have resources in their account, but because they've not discovered the way to pull those resources and that inheritance out of the heavenly account and walk in the supernatural realm here and now. And Paul is saying it's the word of God that gives you your inheritance. Hallelujah. If the word said it to you, it's yours. I said if the word said it to you, it's yours. There are so many people focused on the world instead of the word. I refuse to focus on the world instead of the word. Let me go a step further with this. You look at the Apostle Peter, and you know people give Peter a hard time. I mean, they really do. He had mood swings. He got angry often. He was one of these guys that he had some troubles. You know, he was a severe. You know, he had that extreme personality that could go either way in the extreme. And so people give him a hard time for that. He was the one who got angry in the garden and pulled out a short sword and tried to kill one dude and cut the ear off another dude. I mean, that's pretty bad aim. It wasn't a gun. It was a sword. Just swinging wildly. You're not taking Jesus from me. Meant to kill one guy, cut the ear off of a servant boy. Jesus said, Peter, chill. Sheathe it. Like, I had to reach down, take the ear, and heal the boy. It's like, take it easy. Peter's like, oh, wow. But then he got to the place after the crucifixion. You know, he couldn't even, literally verbalize his faith to a servant girl around the fire. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of those with Jesus. I'm not from Galilee. That ain't me. And got mad and swore that it wasn't him. I mean, Peter had mood swings. Peter was that kind of guy. It was just extreme. And literally, but people give him a hard time. You know, geez, get thee behind me. I mean, literally, it was like, seemed like he had from issue to issue. But then, you have to remember, he's also the only disciple to ever walk on water. And he's in the ship, and he sees Jesus coming, walking across the water. Oh, I could preach on that. We don't have the time. But they're in the middle of a storm that they thought was going to kill all of them. And you know it was bad? Because these are men that spent their life on the water. They'd seen storms. They'd seen problems. They'd seen waves and they'd seen wind. And they said, this one is going to kill us. And in the middle of everything, the ship's rocking and they're thinking water's crashing over and they're doing what they can with the sails. Jesus just comes walking, the Bible says, on the water. Catch this now. Jesus walks on top of what would kill other people. I said, Jesus walks on top of what would kill other people. He just came strolling. And the Bible says that Peter saw him. He said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come unto you. Notice he said, command me. And I'll tell you this, whatever God commands, he empowers. Whatever God commands, he empowers. Whatever God commands, he empowers. What does that mean? What's the point of taking your hand and putting it on someone's head? What's the point of that? Sinners could do that all day long. Nothing would change. Oh, you got a problem? You sick? Come here. Let me just put my fingertips on your forehead. Nothing changed. You know why? Because nothing was transferred. But do you know why something has to change when believers do that? Because God commanded it. And if he commanded it, he empowered it. If God commands it, he empowers it. Go home. I mean, any sinner can open up their pantry and pull out some Mazola cooking oil and pour it on somebody's body, and nothing's going to change except they got oilier. But why is it that we as believers can take the anointing oil and anoint those that are sick? And the Bible says the prayer of faith will raise them up. What's the difference when we do it? Because God commanded it. And if he commanded it, he empowered it. That's what I'm telling you. Anything God commands, he empowers. He backs it up with his own force. And when Peter said, Lord, command me to come unto you, all Jesus said was, come. And one foot after the other came out of the boat, boom, on solid foundation. And Peter, I don't believe, was walking on the water. He was walking on the word. Hallelujah. If Jesus had never have spoken, he couldn't have walked on the water. Peter's walking on the word. In the midst of an impossible situation, Peter's walking on the word. Peter's walking on the word. Peter's walking on the word. Notice who his eyes were on. The word made flesh. He's walking on the word and he's looking at the word. He's walking on the word and he's looking at the word until he started to take his gaze off of the word and transition it to what was going on around him. He probably thought, holy, I'm out here in the middle, halfway between the boat and Jesus, and this storm is insane. And the Bible says, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the world instead of the word, he began to sink and he began to diminish and he began to lose. But notice this, the word came to him. And the word came to him in his weakest moment, in his weakest point. He was on his way down, but the word came to him. And Jesus walked over to where he was and grabbed a hold of him and pulled him back up out of his diminishing state and set him back on a foundation. See, the word will come to you in your weakest moment. When you feel like you're broken, when you feel like you're hurting, when you feel like there's no way out, when you feel like all hope is lost, a word's coming into your spirit. And when the word comes into your spirit, get ready to stop sinking and start standing by the power of God, for the word is giving you your inheritance. Somebody shout amen. I commend you to God and to his word, the word of his grace, which builds you up and gives you an inheritance. Our inheritance. Everything we need is in the word of God. The whole inheritance is in the word. I don't think we put enough precedent on the word of God. Literally, I look at people, there's some that treat it as though it's just a good book. Some treat it like it's a holy book that has principles we should follow. I had a guy recently comment on one of my YouTube videos and said, you know, I like Jesus. I've learned a lot of things from him. But that's definitely not the word breathed out of God's mouth. He said, he said, bunch of fairy tales. He said, he ain't coming flying back in the air. You can be sure of that and take that to the bank. That's what he told me. I said, oh, really? So you like Jesus a lot. You enjoy his personality, even though you think he's a liar. He said, what? I said, oh, yeah, you think he's a liar, but you like a liar. You enjoy a liar. I said, because he said he's coming back. I said, he said he's God in the flesh. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. He claimed to be God. He didn't rebuke them when they called him God. And later the apostles called him God. And his own word says it was breathed out of the mouth of God. So you like him, but you think he's a liar. See, people don't even think before they speak. There's critics that want to come against the mighty word of God. There's people that have tried to delete this from the earth for years, and they've never been able to do it. They've tried to burn it, buy them all up, take them away, lock them away. They didn't want the common man to have one. They wanted to keep it in a language nobody could understand. They wanted to keep it in a place where Christians couldn't read it for themselves. They wanted to just keep that in the hands of the priests who were manipulating the people for their money so that we couldn't have the word of God for ourselves. But thank God for people who were willing to be burned at the stake for translating the Bible into languages that we could understand. It is the power of God in written form. It's so powerful that all Jesus had to do was speak the word only and people were healed. Speak the word only and demons were cast out. Speak the word only and miracles of creation took place. That's how powerful this word is. It is the eternal word of the living God, and it will give you an inheritance. Can you shout amen? I feel the Holy Ghost. The word is giving us our inheritance. That's why I made up my mind. I ain't looking at the world. I'm looking at the word. I'm not looking at the world. I'm looking at the word. I don't care what's popular. If it contradicts the word of God, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I don't care if it's mainstream. I don't care if it's on K-Love. If it contradicts the word, I ain't part of it. I reject it wholeheartedly and fully. It might be the thing everybody's bouncing to on the way to their favorite Christian conference in their car, but if it's not doctrinal, if it doesn't line up with this written word, I don't want any part of it, because the only thing that will break chains, the only thing that will loose the captives, the only thing that will set free is the eternal word of the living God. Somebody shout amen. And the word's coming to you today. I'll tell you this, the word is always working on your behalf. The word's working on your behalf. The key is, will we receive a word? He said, I commend you. I turn you over, or I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Somebody's leaving here today on another level. Your inheritance is coming into your hand. What did we declare last night? We're going to run through 2021. These last 7 months, we're going to blow up to another level. I'm praying for some of you'll skip levels in Jesus' name. The word of God active on your behalf as you declare it and declare it and declare it. It's coming to pass. I said it's coming to pass. The word is more powerful than a disease. It's more powerful than a financial problem. It's more powerful than relational issues. It can heal your marriage. It can bring you back together. It's more powerful than the wickedness that's trying to come after your children and grandchildren. It's more powerful than the spirit of this world. The Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. And the same one who inspired every word in that book is living in your physical body today. The same Holy Ghost that carried men along, 2 Peter 1, as they wrote all the things they wrote, is the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. And the same Holy Ghost that raised him from the dead is now living inside your physical body. He's quickening you. He's empowered you. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. I came to encourage somebody this morning. You're filled with the power of the living God, and you are unstoppable in the kingdom because Holy Ghost is moving in you. He's talking to you. He's leading you. He's guiding you, and he's equipped you for your purpose. If you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen. Shh, lift your hands right where you're sitting. Come on back, Sam. I'm getting ready to pray. But I feel the Holy Ghost in here. It's the word. I said, it's the word. I said, it's the word. It's the word. The word. See, that's why you think about it. God could have done anything he wanted to, but he sent the word to be made flesh. Think about that. He sent the word to be made flesh, to dwell among us. You know what he said when he saw his people? Think about this. When he saw his people, he said, you know what they need? More word around them. And he said, they need more word around them. I'm going to send the word down in a body form. And the word came to the earth. And the word started walking among the people. And if there was a problem, the word spoke. If there was a problem, the word acted. If there was a problem, the word rebuked it. And now he's given us the word. You know what's so powerful? Think of this. As you come into Christianity, you're in the family. You are now a part of the word. People don't think of that. But think of that. You are now a part of the word. If he's the head and you're the body of Christ, and Christ is the word, you are now a part of the word. Your life. You know how Lester Sumrall used to preach it? We are Acts 29. Only 28 chapters in Acts. But one of the things you'll find out if you read Acts, it comes to the end without a formal conclusion. There's no formal conclusion. There's no wrap-up. It just keeps narrating and then just cuts off. You know why? Because Acts never stopped. We're still in the midst of the Acts of the Apostles.
Oh, man.
And Lester Sumrall, the great missionary evangelist, said, we are Acts 29. Because we're writing the story to this day. I'm telling you right now, in this Christian church, in the Christian church in America and around the world, still writing the story today. Do you know we're writing a greater story today than they were writing then? You know how I know? More people are converting today than ever before in history. You know how we're having signs, wonders, and miracles at an explosive rate than ever before in history. We're seeing people changed by the power of God. We're seeing the largest crowds coming together to worship Jesus than we ever have in history. I'm not talking about people hanging on the fence and people that are just pretending to be Christians. I'm talking about tongue-talking, devil-casting-out Christians that are not ashamed of the power of God. Today is the greatest day there ever has been. Because God saves the best for last. I said he saves the best for last. I said he saves the best for last. And today, man, it's hard to do these services because I like ministering to you so much. I'd stay with you all day if I could. Of course, we're going to be together all day in one sense. Just break for lunch. But I feel it because I can sense your love for the Word of God. I can sense your love for the Spirit of God. But man, what God's doing through this church and in this church and through your life is supernatural. You ought to lift your hands and thank the Lord. God's using you in these final moments of time. You're a part of a victorious body of believers. It's a supernatural thing. I said it's a supernatural thing. God is using us for his glory and by his power. We'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for his goodness. Man, he's good. He's good. You've not yet seen the beginning of what God's going to do through you. I just say it to reinforce you today. You've not even seen the beginning. For there's going to be a mighty move of the Spirit upon your life. And you're going to have fruit after fruit after fruit produced. God's looking for bold people. He's looking for people that aren't ashamed. I tell you, get ready. The greatest days are still ahead. It's amazing. It's amazing. Shikabaro dora mohun deneke. The gifts of the Spirit will be in operation. Don't ever let anybody despise you for your youth. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't because you're a woman. Don't let any of that stop you from doing what God's called you to do. You stand up boldly and do what God's called you to do. And he will use you mightily. Amen. You believe it? You believe it? You believe it? Praise God. Good. Let's lift our hands all over the house. Man, he's a good God who gives good gifts to those that ask him. How many are ready to ask him for some good things? Ready to ask him for some good things? I know I am. I'm believing for better things in this 1 year than we've seen throughout the history of our lives. Amen. And we'll receive it. Hallelujah. We shall receive it. Power of God's on you. Receive a touch from heaven. This lady here, stand on your feet. The Lord is touching you right here. Stand on your feet. Power of God's upon you today. And he's touching you. He's setting you free. And he's healing your body all in one day. Touching you, setting you free, and healing your body. I saw the Lord setting you free when I was all the way in the front. I said, I'm going to pray for her before the day's over. And there's things that the enemy's tried to use to destroy you. But from this day, the power of God comes upon you and freedom comes to you. Everything that tried to present itself as a chain that would bind you has to lift off of you and break today in Jesus' mighty name. No more chains. No more chains. No more chains. So I take authority over every invisible prison that kept her shut in. Go by the power of God. Be made whole today. And I loose healing virtue throughout your body. Lord touches you today. Your mobility will not be stolen from you. Sickness and disease will not stay in your body. But from this day, healing virtue flows into you. I command you be made whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every hand lifted. One more moment. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not going to want to miss tonight. I mean, we're going to minister to people tonight. But I want you to stand on your feet and bow your head all over this house, because I'm telling you, I feel the presence of the Lord right now. He's moving on people right now. Right now. Right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. As we're in this moment of worship, hear what I'm saying. Maybe there's people in the house today that you're not ready for heaven. That if Jesus Christ were to come now, you're not ready to see him. You're literally... You know that there are sinful things that are standing between you and a holy God, and you need to have your sins forgiven today. Be washed in the blood of Jesus and cast into a place of forgetfulness that the Bible says will be remembered no more. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this church this morning, you say, preacher, that is me. I need to know that I'm forgiven, that my sins are forgiven, that I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and I'm ready for eternity. Don't leave this service without knowing. Don't leave this service without that sure knowing I am a child of the Most High God. And if that's you, you're here today and say, that is me. I need to pray that prayer with you so that I know that I'm saved and my sins are forgiven. Lift your hand right where you're standing. And I'm going to pray there, 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 there. Who else? Over here on the side. Who else? Don't miss it. This is your day. This is your day. I see it back on the side. I see it in the back. Listen, take a moment really quickly. Get out of your seat and come stand with me. Come now. Come now. Don't wait for somebody else. Let's go. Come on. Come on. If you lifted your hand. Come on. Take a bold step of faith. Come on. If you lifted your hand, there were many of you. Get out of your seat and come. Get out of your seat and come. Jesus is calling. Come on. Come on. He's calling to you. He loves you. Come, come, come. Why would you wait for another day? Come on. Why would you wait for another day? Another service. God bless you. Come on. Who else? I saw many of you raise your hand. Come now. Why do we take the time to do this? Because time is short. Jesus is coming. And we've got to be ready to see him when he comes. Say, well, maybe I've prayed that prayer before, but I know I've walked away or I'm not living for God like I should. Today's the day to make all things new. That's how much the Lord loves you. I'll give you just a few more seconds. If you're still remaining in your seat, but you know you need to be at this altar, Christians should be praying. Jesus is calling you. God bless you. Is there anybody else you want to take this day to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. Hallelujah. No turning back. Come on, man. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Come on. People are feeling the call of God. Praise the Lord. God bless you, man. Who else? Who else will answer the call of God today? Jesus is drawing you. Come on, man. The Bible says nobody can be saved unless the Spirit's drawing them. And the Spirit's drawing us today. He's drawing us today. If you feel that tug on your heart, now, today is the day of salvation. Today, it's an immediate thing. It's not to be pushed off to the future. 10 more seconds. If you need to come, come now. We don't gloss over this moment. We don't minimize this moment. It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. And if that's you, maybe you were standing next to somebody that raised their hand. Don't be too timid. Say, I'll walk with you. Jesus loves you. He's ready to make a change. God bless you. God bless you. 5 more seconds. Is there anybody else? Today's your day. Today's your day. God bless you. Come on up. Join us. Amen. Let's all bow our head at the altar of God. The Bible says if we confess that Jesus is Lord, we believe that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. We literally, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. And so today we're declaring that all things are going to be made new. God bless you. One more's coming. I want us to pray together, and I want to lead you in this prayer. If you'll repeat it with me boldly, pray this. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die just for me. Today I ask you, forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. Give me power to continue to live for you for the rest of my life. I confess Jesus is Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. From this day forward, I am a child of God. I'm never going back to the old way of living. From this day forward, I belong to Jesus. Now lift your hands and thank the Lord that it's done. Lord, I pray you fill every one of these with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Keep them, amen, from harm and danger, from the attacks of the enemy. Now listen, not only do we love you here, maybe this is not your home church. If it is, praise God. If it's not, I encourage you to make it your home church. Of course, we have all kinds of things at His Tabernacle to build your faith and to keep you on that place where you're going to other levels in your understanding and in being equipped for God's power on your life. Rock solid faith is one of those things. But this church loves people. And right here is Mindy and Buddy right here to my right, your left. They just want to give you a gift and just make sure that we're staying with you, praying with you, standing with you, knowing that the best days are ahead, not behind. Amen. So would you do me a favor? Just turn to your left. They're going to give you something before you return to your seat. We love you. Welcome to the family of God. Would you clap your hands and give Jesus praise? Praise God. Praise God. Oh, lift your hands all over the house. Father, we thank you for new brothers, new sisters in the kingdom. I pray that you would strengthen them and use them mightily. Make them powerful disciples in the kingdom. We thank you from this day forward. They're growing, growing, growing. They're not moving back. They're moving ahead in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, somebody shout amen. Amen. Be seated for a moment. Before we let you go, we're going to allow you to sow a seed into this ministry. I'm so excited because the reach just continues to increase. You're a wonderful part of that. But even greater than that, I want you to hear this. Multiple things happen when you sow a seed. You don't just get to be a blessing to the world, which you do. And you don't just send the gospel forward, which you do. But God has positioned you, and this church knows it very well, in a system of seed time and harvest. God, without a doubt, has a plan to bless you financially. No question about that. He wants to see you abound. Can I tell you something? God doesn't like debt. He wants to set you free from debt. And you know, one of the things that I love, he doesn't just want to get you out of debt, doesn't even just want to meet your needs. But as I preach today, he wants to take you into the overflow. Amen. Let me encourage you with a thought. When they came out of Egypt, did you know that that was a picture, a type, and a shadow of New Testament salvation? Did you know that Egypt was a type of sin? Pharaoh was a type of Satan? And when they came out of that bondage, that was a picture of salvation. But can I tell you what's exciting? Is that this story shows us all aspects of salvation. Because how did they come out? The Bible says there was not a feeble one among them. Say that with me, not a feeble one. You know what that means? Nobody was sick leaving Egypt. Nobody was crippled up leaving Egypt. Nobody came through the Red Sea on a walker with tennis balls on the bottom. They came through healed, came through strong. But you know what else the Bible says? they plundered the Egyptians and took their silver and their gold. That speaks of the prosperity of God and the blessing of God financially upon your life. They were free from bondage, they were free from sickness, and they were free from poverty. That's the picture of what God wants to do with his children. And when we sow seed, we do it with the expectancy that God is going to increase us in every area of life. Can you say amen? That's why we pray, because he leads us in our giving. So would you bow your head and let's ask the Lord. Father, would you speak to us today? Give us that instruction from heaven about what you would have us to do in this offering today. And I pray that we'll hear it clearly. Our faith will be built to obey the word. And then as we obey it, we thank you that increase is quickly coming back in Jesus' name. Lord, my prayer for every family is that you would cause them to abound supernaturally. Let them so rapidly increase that it would even turn the heads of unbelievers, so that, as your word declares in the book of Romans, that it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Let people see how good you can be to your children. Let it be a testimony of your nature and your character. We thank you, Lord, that your plans to bless us are coming to pass through our obedience to your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe it, somebody shout amen. Amen. If you're making out a check, please make it payable to the church. And of course, the instructions are on the screen as to how you can give via the website, or if you'd like to use, I'm sure the church has digital options with apps and stuff like that. You can send it in the mail if you've got extreme faith. You can text to give. The website is available. You can use the give button on the website. But I want to say thank you to every person that's standing with us. I know we have many partners in this church, partners of our ministry. Carolyn and I love you, and we thank you. And because I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to be connected with you and to have you connected with us. We don't take it lightly. We pray for you. We literally do. Some of you that get texts, I send out texts to those that are connected to our ministry. You get texts, and you know that I'm praying for you. I let you know. I ask you to send your prayer requests via text message. I pray for you while we're traveling. That's because I love you. Amen. And I don't take it lightly. It's very serious to me that we're connected together. And I appreciate you and everything you're doing for the Lord. You're wonderful and powerful people. I love His Tabernacle Church. Amen. When you're ready to give, would you stand on your feet? We're going to leave shouting, and we'll be back at 11 o'clock. And then tonight, 6 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Pastor Ronnie, do you have anything else before we go? That's good. Tonight, 6 p.m., we're going to have a Holy Ghost blowout. Can you say amen? So get you something good to eat, get some rest, and we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. We love you. Come on and give. You're dismissed.
I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.